Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to Senate Finance this morning. It's 4 minutes after 9 a.m., March 31st, 2008. With me today is Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Elton, Senator Thomas, Senator Dyson, himself, Senator Stedman. Senator Huggins is detained here for a little bit, and he may be joining us shortly. Today, we're going to have three bills up. We're going to start with House Bill 260, State Officers Compensation Commission. There was a subcommittee that did some work on that, some analysis. And then we're going to go on, and that's the first reading. We'll go on to House Bill 330, which is Noxious Weed and Invasive Plants Bill. And then we're going to take a brief at ease while we have passed out Senate Bill 221, which is the capital and supplemental appropriations bill that we've been working on with the new CS. So when we get to that point, I expect a fairly short recess, with just several minutes, not longer, unless some issue pops up that I'm unaware of. So I'd like to go ahead and start off this morning with House Bill 260, State Officers Compensation Commission. We heard this bill for the first time on March 12th. At the meeting, I appointed a subcommittee chaired by Senator Elton to review the bill and return with recommendations for the full committee. And Senator Elton would like to present his recommendations from the committee. And Senator Elton, if you could go ahead and do that, and then we'll have the bill sponsor, Rep. Dugan, come forward, please, and we'll have a dialogue on what this is.
Just very briefly, Mr. Chair, the subcommittee met last week to consider the bill. Senators Olson and Senator Dyson were members of the subcommittee. We worked with the bill sponsor, and on a motion by Senator Dyson, reported it back to the full committee with no changes.
Okay. Rep. Dugan, if you can come forward, please, and the Senate normally takes a lot of love and affection on all the House bills, and it's rare that we have a bill that the subcommittee would come forward for and offer the recommended changes. So anyway, with that, if you could go ahead and just refresh the committee's memory and the people at home that are watching maybe for the first time what the issue is we're dealing with this bill, and we'll have questions from the committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Mike Dugan. I represent House District 25. As I said here before, that's one half of Senate District M. The bill would establish a State Officers Compensation Commission. It would cover legislators, the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the heads of the principal departments, the commissioners. It would be five members appointed by the governor. One from a list presented by the President of the Senate, one from a list presented by the Speaker of the House, and three sort of at-large members. The members can have served in the offices for which they're recommending compensation, but not within the past 4 years. Their charge is to present at least every 2 years a report to the legislature on compensation. The legislature can disapprove the report within 60 days if it doesn't like the recommendations. And of course, the legislature retains the power of appropriation. I think those are the salient points, and with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions the members might have.
Do we have any questions from the committee members? Okay, we have Senator Thomas.
No, that's okay. I'm just reading the sponsor statement again and refresh my memory. So I did it, but I don't have a question.
Okay, we have one fiscal note for $7,500. Fiscal note assumes a couple meetings a year, a little bit of travel, a little bit of supply for this committee, so it's a fairly small fiscal note. And we've taken public testimony at the last meeting concerning this bill. And by chance, is there anybody from the audience that wants to speak on this bill? There is nobody on dial-up, but we've had, like I said, we've taken public testimony previously. So do we have any final questions to the bill sponsor? The will of the committee, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 206, State Affairs, with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
We have a motion to move CS for House Bill number 260, State Affairs, version K, with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move this bill from committee.
Thank you, Mr. Thank Chairman.
You. Thank you,
members of the committee.
The next bill on the agenda is House Bill 330, Noxious Weed and Invasive Plants. This is the first hearing in Senate Finance on this bill. The intent today is to hear the bill from the sponsor, take public testimony, and then set the bill aside for a later date. To present the bill today is the bill's prime sponsor, Rep. Johnson, and we will have a brief at ease while he arrives down the hall. Red is. We'll come back on the record. If I could please just remind everybody briefly here to turn off their cell phones and Blackberries, and also the committee members too, if they could bring their mics forward and try to speak into the mics. We're having trouble with the recording, which leads to challenges with the minutes, acrobats. Rep. Johnson, if you could go ahead and walk us through this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Representative Craig Johnson, District 28. Before you, HB 330 is a piece of legislation that basically would establish a weed coordinator for the state within a 2-year period, develop a plan for a weed plan for the state, and also establish through the Department of Soil and Water Conservation Districts a weed board. These are the three requirements that are necessary to tap into federal funds to allow us to coordinate with other states and to tap into some of the federal funds that are available for weed eradication of invasive species. This problem came to my attention this summer when one of my constituents came to me with a problem. She had purchased a strawberry plant, I believe it was, at a box store in Anchorage, and growing in it was a Canadian thistle. And that is an invasive species on the list that should not be in the state. We realized at that point that we really had no one to go out, and we had no plan in place for the state to do anything about this type of invasive species. Another incident that happened this past Christmas, there was a 747 full of Christmas trees that were taken, donated out of Oregon for charity. They went to Hawaii. The inspectors went to, on the airplanes in Hawaii and found numerous invasive insects. And the plane was then sealed up, wasn't able to taken off, and were delivered to the Anchorage International Airport, where we had complaints of constituents with wasps and stuff flying around in their house. When we asked the department there, they have one person that can do this. They have no, we have no plan in place for any type of invasive species. To this point, it's been done pretty much through volunteer work, through soil and conservation districts, and there is quite a lot of money spent in other states, millions of dollars in Oregon and Washington on these species. We're very fortunate in Alaska as a result. We've always thought it's too cold up here for a lot of these plants to exist. As for whatever reason, the temperature warms, these plants are becoming more and more prevalent. In your package, you'll see in southeast Alaska, we have a reed canary grass that you can see some of the locations where they've come in. This particular invasive species can actually choke off a salmon stream, make it non-productive. Some of these invasive species are deadly to habitat, to moose and cattle. And we're not talking about dandelions here. We're talking about plants that will cause or can cause severe economic damage to farmlands, to any type of agricultural lands, to moose, wildlife habitat, as well as fish habitat. We are in a position in Alaska that most states are very envious of. We are in the preventative stage where they are in the eradication stage, and eradication costs far more than it does to prevent it if we find a small patch of this. So this bill basically sets up the mechanism for us to start the process of keeping these invasive species out of Alaska. The genesis of the bill started with forming its own commission. It had a $250,000 fiscal note. I am personally not one that wants to go out and create another level of bureaucracy. So we have found a way to make this happen with an existing board, hiring one person, and their job in a very quick fashion is to go out and secure federal money and perpetuate this further. If that doesn't work, this sunsets, I think, in 2 years, so we're done with it. If it doesn't work, if it does, we'll revisit it. And if it's a good project, it will continue. If it won't, it will not. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions about how it's designed, made up, or the reasons.
Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for bringing the bill forward. The question I have is, under some of the federal programs, our fisheries are considered agricultural programs. I'm hopeful. I'm asking this question, but I'm hopeful of the answer. Do invasive plants and agricultural pests include those organisms that are brought in by ships, often in ballast water, and would the responsibility of the new person and the existing board, would that be part of their mission?
Through the chair, it is not clearly outlined, and we left it kind of vague. To start an invasive animal project is considered, and insects is considerably more in depth, and this is a first step. I think that that needs to be there. If it's an invasive plant, absolutely. If it's the kind of plant that would get into a stream, yes. The mollusk and the type of stuff in ballast water you're talking about, this does not specifically address, although there's nothing in this bill that keeps the coordinator from expanding beyond that once they move into that area. And in working with the Department of Natural Resources, that's an all-encompassing possibility. But this bill does not do that. With a 90-day session, we went for the possible, not the, and we thought it was possible to start with weeds, and that is something we intend to expand into, but this bill does not address animals or mollusk or waterborne creatures at this point.
Follow-up, Senator?
The way I read the bill, it doesn't prohibit it. And so kind of a fair warning to members of the committee and the sponsor that one of the things that I'm going to be encouraging in the hopes that this bill passes, one of the things that I'm going to be encouraging is that we also look at the maritime issues, which are every bit as serious and in some cases more serious than what's happening on land. And so So my expectation will be that they need to pay attention to it, and they need to focus on that as much as the land-borne issues. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I just got a quick addition on that, and then we'll go to Senator Olson and Senator Dyson. There are several communities, at least two that I'm aware of, that are actively seeking bulk water exports. So just to add to Senator Elton's point about marine mollusk and other things.
Mr. Chairman, if I might address that, I support that 100%, and I firmly believe that we need to take a look at all non-indigenous invasive dangerous species, whether it's rats on some of the islands out in the Aleutians or cockroaches or whatever it is. But once again, I wanted to go with the possible over, because I felt strongly we could get something that regarded the weeds, and there's something in place that's already addressing it, a huge volunteer organization out there already working on this, and then grow into that. So I fully support your intention. I think we have to go there very quickly.
Senator Olson and Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many other states have the same type of coordinator and weed board as well? And the other, I don't know if you have the information, but what does Canada do for the similar type situations?
Through the chair, I'm not familiar with what Canada does. The states I've dealt with, most of the Western states have this type of thing. There's actually a bill in front of the legislature, the House and Senate now, that will, I don't remember, there's a parallel that is kind of west of the Mississippi that's going to set up a special pot of money for those plants out there. The agriculture in the Western states have been particularly hard hit. I think you know, it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars that that Washington spends on invasive plants. There are in some states, in Western states, when you go out to borrow money on your real estate, if it's going to be agriculture, if they go out and find some of these plants on them, they devalue that property substantially because they know what it's going to cost to get rid of it. Most of the Western states have, but Idaho, I've spoken to the Idaho and Wyoming and Washington weed coordinators. There are quite a few.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I, too, appreciate this, and Senator Elton's right. The maritime environment is huge. We have green crabs and Chinese mitten crabs that are marching up the West Coast that are killing all of the animals on the bottom of the sea. Zebra mussels that are coming west, you know, are hugely choking off all kinds of things. And we hope that they wouldn't survive in our water, but that's looks like they're hardier than we thought. There's an agreement starting to happen between the Western states, so an inspection in one jurisdiction is recognized in the other ones. And this is starting to happen with the Canadians as well. So that's very appropriate. And you know, we have problems with fox farms. The foxes that are still there have killed all the shorebirds. And I particularly am worried about farm fish. You know, and that has, we have them, the farm salmon breeding and reproducing in our creeks. So far they've been discovered in 86 of Alaskan rivers, and that's a huge issue. I got two quick questions. I was told, and I've met with some of the same people as you, that some of our gardening stores are selling ornamental plants and so on that are listed, and I assume that one of the outgrowths of what this committee commission does is will ultimately produce a list of things that can't be sold here. Is that correct? And then secondly, does the federal funding that this legislation enables us to get preclude that money being used on noxious or animals and seaborne stuff?
The Chair, Representative Dyson, I'll answer the last question first. I'm not certain the requirements on that because we haven't had any mechanism in place to actually go out and seek those grants. I think it would be kind of in the form of how the grant's written, who it's applied to. If this board were to expand beyond just the noxious weed invasive species, then I wouldn't see any reason why they couldn't. I think would determine where the grant was written to and how it was written would determine that. In terms of the ornamental plants, I don't know if several of you or most of you were around 2 years ago when we actually had to pass a piece of legislation to add two species on to, and I'm drawing a blank on them, the names of the species, but we actually had a bill go through the legislature that we added two plants to the invasive species list. One of the charges of this board would be to update that and the commissioner so that we wouldn't have to go through. If they saw a problem, they could update it and also take some off. There's some on there that are determined not to be dangerous. And once again, I'm not dealing with dandelions here. We're talking about plants that do serious economic and ecological damages.
Could you expand a little bit on the potential for federal grants and if, what kind of state match may or may not be required?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, typically these grants are there are various kinds, and the Soil and Water Conservation Districts kind of individually do it now, but to tap the big money, I have no idea how much money's involved. It's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's going to depend on this coordinator to go out and get them, and we've been led to believe that we could easily raise in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and there is no matching. These are grants for the eradication to keep them from spreading. So they are not matching, and if there are, that would be something that would have to come for the legislature. There may be matching grants out there that they decide they want to try to go for if it's, you know, an 80-20 or something that would make sense to get a significant amount of money. That's going to be determined by the type of grant. I envision this not having any state match.
And we have four fiscal notes. There's 3-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Environmental Conservation, along with Fish and Game and DOT, Department of Transportation. Then we have one fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources for $80,000 to hire the research analyst to serve as a statewide coordinator. We have any other final questions for the, I guess we got a couple, and then we'll go calling testimony. Senator Elton, Senator Olson.
First, Mr. Chair, a question. Is it your plan to hear and hold the bill today?
Yes.
Since this is the first hearing?
This is
okay.
The first hearing,
then a question of the sponsor. On page 2 in section 1, beginning on line 24, it says that the new state coordinator shall coordinate with the University of Alaska Cooperative Extension Service and the Alaska Association of Conservation Districts Board of Directors in fulfilling the responsibilities. And I'd like to ask the sponsor to consider an addition. As long as we're mandating coordination, I think it would probably be appropriate to mandate that they also coordinate with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which has an invasive species person already on staff. And it just seems to me that whether or not the initial focus is fish, it just seems to me that the invasive species person at the Department of Fish and Game also knows an awful lot about how you work with other jurisdictions to make sure that invasive species, whatever they are, whether they're land-borne or marine-borne, could be helpful. So if the sponsor could consider adding the Alaska Department of Fish and Game while we're holding the bill.
Thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. More along the lines of the federal grants that the chairman was talking about, are these federal grants ongoing, or are they going to be there for a few years and then we've got to backfill them with state funds?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I can't speak to how long a federal program is going to last. This is a widely recognized problem. It costs huge economic losses in western states. I don't envision this being something that goes away. As like any project that we start going down this road with federal projects, it would be up to the state legislature to make a determination as to whether or not it's worthwhile and beneficial for us to continue. I envision this going on quite some time. As I mentioned, there's new legislation actually being introduced that would even add more and target this specifically. So I think instead of on the downside of this, we're on the upside of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, we'll go ahead and go to Delta Junction. Bryce Ringley, please.
Hi, my name is Bryce Ringley. I represent the Alaska Farm Bureau. I just wanted to testify in favor of this bill. Alaska, of all the states in the Union, is in a unique position to actually be able to eliminate many of our noxious and invasive weeds. There isn't another state in the Union that will ever have this opportunity again. The isolation that we've enjoyed so far has bought us time to learn lessons from some of these other states. Now we're beginning to see these noxious weeds moving into our ecosystems, but we have the knowledge and the tools to deal with them. I think it would be a tragedy to squander this opportunity. I believe that this legislation will begin to address the need to bring all the agencies to the same table and develop a management strategy along with the many of the tools that are available. It'll also put into place the components needed to tap into the federal management funding, something that is critical to the success of any plan to manage and eliminate these weeds. Our primary concern with the Farm Bureau is that the passage of this legislation provides the ability to put eradication efforts on the ground. We don't want a management plan in the sense that many states now must accept it. We want a plan to eliminate as many threats as possible using the best tools available. In the absence of any state funding, we of necessity must turn to the federal dollars, and this legislation lays the framework for that to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now going to go to Kenai LIO. Janice Chumley, please, if you can identify yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill.
Yes, my name is Janice Chumley, and I'm here representing both the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District and the University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension Service. For several years, I have done weed surveys on the Kenai Peninsula and have noted more and more invasive plants occurring on our roads and getting off the roads into backcountry systems. And I really strongly encourage you to support this bill and to start addressing an issue, as Mr. Wrigley so eloquently put, that we really need to pay attention to this and eradicate it. Alaska is truly in an envious position to be the only state in the Union that does not have an overwhelming population of invasive pests. And I really think that at this point in time, we have the ability to go ahead and to make sure that we stay in that position. And I would really encourage all of you to support this bill. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today.
You're welcome.
We have some folks from the department that are just online for questions. Do we have anybody in the audience that would like to come forward and speak to this bill? Okay, Rep. Johnson, do you want to, in wrap-up, give us any final comments before we set this bill aside?
No, Mr. Chairman, I think it's pretty cut and dried. It is certainly not the end-all to the problem we have, but it's the first step. And as we learn and grow and take advantage of some of the opportunities of eliminating some of these plants, I think we can grow into some of the areas of the critters that are invading our state as well. So with that, I just appreciate your consideration, and I will take to heart the fishing game. I have no problem with that. The more we can bring into this tent, the better. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any final questions or anything? Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside. We are now going to take a brief at ease while we prepare for the next bill. We're at ease. back on the record. We have now Senate Bill 221, capital budget and supplemental. What we're going to do here is adopt the CS. We'll have a brief, I'll object to it. We'll have a brief rundown and then remove the objection. And then I ask the committee members to go ahead and review it. Amendments are due into my office by 5 o'clock today. We'll bring it back at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning and take amendments. Mr. Baker, if you could identify yourself and who you represent.
Motion.
Excuse me. Yeah, so we need a motion. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 221 / K as our working document.
And I'll object for explanation. Mr. Baker.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Miles Baker, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. I thought I would just first walk through how the bill's laid out. The primary difference between structurally from the last CS the committee saw in this bill is we've added the remaining slow track, what we're calling the slow track supplemental, 08 supplemental items. We have added a few more items that were in the governor's 09 capital submission, and I can walk through those. We have added legislative reappropriations requests that came into the office. And we've added a couple other items that I'll go through. So section one of the bill, which begins on page two, are the slow track operating supplemental items for 08. Section four of the bill, which starts on page six, are also supplemental capital items in the governor's submission. Section seven, which begins on page 18, section seven begins on page 10. That's the section you saw before. It's the section between page 10 and 17 are the, we're in the prior CS. That's the section of capital projects to protect life and property and enhance public safety. We've separated those items out from the regular capital budget. There were a few changes, project changes in that area. But for the most part, those should look familiar. We did move the Alaska Village Initiative's project code red, which is on page 10, line 16, into that section of the bill. It was in the regular capital section previously. Section 10 of the bill, which begins on page 18, is, I guess, what you would call the regular section of the 09 capital budget that runs through page 59. That includes the regular capital requests, the grants to named recipients, grants to munis, grants to unincorporated. Page 59 of that section is where you will find the school construction. Begins on page 24. I'm sorry, 59, line 24 is the Department of Education section, which includes the major maintenance grants, which were in the prior bill. Page 61 begins the agency section. So these are the capital projects that are going to agencies of the administration as opposed to munis, named recipients, and those other folks. Page 83. This is an addition to this CS, which is the page 84, my mistake there, begins the court system. We've included all of the Alaska court system's 09 capital requests that were submitted by the governor, and we've increased their number one priority, which is the Anchorage campus project, from what the governor had requested up to $8 million. That's an additional, I believe it's an additional $4 million. It's a $23 million project, $23.5 million project, and they had requested some additional funds to get further along next year. They're having to move people around in that facility in Anchorage in order to facilitate these changes, and this will speed that process up. Section 11 and 12 on page 86 and 89 are just the totals of these previous sections we've just talked about. Section 13, which begins on page 90, you've seen this before. There were no changes in this section. This is the these are the appropriations being made out of the commercial passenger vessel tax account. We did make some slight changes to the project titles, but they're essentially the same projects with the same amounts. Page 94 starts the language section of the bill, and I think what I would like to highlight in this section, some of this language is part of the governor's slow track supplemental. I would highlight on page 103, section 43, we have added a transfer there to line 14, section 43 is transferring $55,000 from the Anatomical Gift Awareness Fund to Life Alaska Donor Services. That's something that has been done pretty consistently every year, but requires language to do it. So that's been added in. Section 44 on the same page, line 19, page 103. We have added, and you should have gotten a handout. The bill says $22.4 million to the Department of Education for energy relief to the school districts. The handout you have in front of you shows $20,692,000, so $28.7 million. So we will be making a technical amendment to lower the amount that's in the bill down to reflect the proper amount. 22.5 was based on a ADM breakout that was not completely current. Section 47 on page 104. We've added 09 operating language there for the Marine Highway for the Kodiak service. This is an item that had been in and out on the Senate operating budget side, and we had finally taken it out, and since then have decided to, they need this money to increase the service to Kodiak, so that money is back in that section. That's an 09 operating item. On page 104, section 48, We are making two deposits to retirement systems to pay off unfunded liabilities. These are two systems that we have not discussed a lot before, but have similar problems. One is the judicial retirement system, and the other one is the military National Guard retirement system. We're making a deposit of 08 surplus funds, $49 million to the judicial retirement system and $10 million to the military retirement system. That will, those deposits will completely pay off the unfunded liabilities of both of those plans. Section 49, we are making an additional deposit of $400 million of 08 surplus to the CBR. And, Mr. Chairman, if I could, back up to section 24, page 97, we just draw your attention to section 24, subsection C and D, which begins on line 22. We are also out of 08 surplus funds making a deposit of $25 million to the Alaska Marine Highway Stabilization System Fund. That's the fund that allows the Marine Highway extra money should they need it. We're adding intent language that requires them to go to the LBNA committee during the interim to make any request to draw down on that. Fund. And on line 24, subsection D is the $75 million of 08 surplus being deposited into the Marine Highway System Vessel Replacement Fund. That is a fund that hasn't been used in quite a while. As far as I know, there's nothing in there now, and we've got 45-year-old vessels that need to be start saving for. So that's those are the principal sectional changes. I can highlight quickly, Mr. Chairman, in terms of the items that were in the governor's original budget submission that we have added since the last CS. Just quickly, I will go through from the Department of Health and Social Services. We added, there's $9 million. That's the Pioneer Home, Youth Center, and Health Center deferred maintenance, and those are spread out to several facilities across the state, but we included the total amount that they had requested for that amount, which also included the Sitka Pioneer Home roof, which was a separate appropriation. That's about $9 million. The Department of Education, we had already included the deferred maintenance for all of the schools except for the Mount Edgecombe High School. That's been added in there as well for $2.6 million. Under the Department of Commerce, we added the Kodiak Launch Facility, which is $3.5 million GF and $14 million federal. We also updated, it was in the previous CS, the NPRA grant program. But you will notice in the new version, which is section 26 on page 98, we have added in the language section of the bill how that money is actually going to be appropriated, what the municipalities are and what the projects are. That's $5.3 million, which is a $300,000 reduction. That was a recent amendment from the governor's office. Under the Department of Administration, we included the Palmer Office Building for $15.7 million. Under DOT, we've added the Marine Highway Vessel Overhaul and Deferred Maintenance items for $11.9 million. The Maintenance Station in Kaufman Cove for $980,000. We included the Harbor Transfer Program, which has three allocations for harbors that are queued up, ready to be transferred, for a total of $2.98 million. The Chignik Lagoon Airport for $4 million. That was an amendment made by the governor for some emergency FAA-dictated repairs to that airport. We added 20 $4 million for the trunk road in the Mat-Su Valley. That's $4 million more than the $20 million requested by the governor. And we added the $8.9 million for the South Denali Access Road, which was from the governor's bond, suggested bond projects. Under the Department of Public Safety, we added $1.7 million under their deferred maintenance line. That was the full amount they requested. That goes to trooper stations and various public safety facilities. Under the Department of Natural Resources, we added the State Park Sanitation and Safety Project emergency repair item for $840,000. We added the firefighting equipment for $500,000, and the last phase of the first part of the energy inventory project that's being done to try to inventory all of the state's energy assets for $350,000. In the Department of Revenue, we added the Child Support Services Division computer project for $194,000 and the PFD Division's computer upgrade project for $125,000. And finally, under the university, I mentioned the court system previously. That was a new addition. And then under the university, of their $41 million deferred maintenance, we've added $15.4 million of that, $1.5 million for statewide, $3.1 million for the UAF campus, $3.5 million for the UAF community campuses, $5.5 million for Juno, which is half of the Anderson building amount, $450,000 for UAS, and $2.7 million for UAA community campuses. So it's a little less than half of what the university had requested on deferred maintenance. And I believe that's, I can tell you in terms of a total dollar amount, Mr. Chairman, in the new CS now totals $1.782 billion. That's a $214 million increase over the last CS, of which 135 is general funds. There's a reduction of $2 million in federal funds, and an increase of $80.6 million in other funds.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Baker. Well, with that, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to adoption of the CS. Do we have any objection to the adoption of CS version K? Seeing no further objections, we'll go ahead and adopt CS version K as our working document. We're going to go on again. I'd just like to remind everybody to look through it, bring back amendments or concerns if you see things in there. By my office at 5 o'clock today, we'll take this up. Tomorrow morning, April 1st at 9 a.m., that'll be the first bill up. And then we'll go on to House Bill 45, State Veterans Cemetery, House Bill 326, Military and National Guard fighting wildland fires. And with that, meeting adjourned.